Hello, guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to this latest edition. It's a special episode today. We're interviewing a player that we've been tracking for a while now. We're very excited to have her on, Miss Angela Okotoyi. How are you doing, Angela?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, man. So happy to have you on.
Happy too.
It's been a long time in the making. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we've been tracking you since, I want to say 2022, which is the year that you kind of broke through in juniors anyway. So we're excited to have you on. So thank you so much for joining us. The way we usually do like player interviews, we kind of like start with like a warm up. So we want to give you some like quick fire questions. I want to say you've got 5 seconds to answer each question. So like no pressure.
Okay.
But... yeah, just to kind of like warm you up a bit.
Okay.
So do you want to go for those quick fire questions?
Yeah, sure. Your favorite players, men or women?
Serena Williams and Rafael Nadal.
Nice. Okay. Favorite Grand Slam?
I would say Australian Open, but cannot leave Wimbledon.
Good answer. Favorite surface?
Clay.
Great. Yeah. Electric line calling or line judges?
I would say line judges, because at least they can be overruled, unlike the electric one. So I'll go with the line judges.
Nice. Okay. Favorite country?
Favorite country? I've never really thought of that. Well, I cannot leave Kenya.
Choose wisely now, because like you're obviously Kenyan, but you go to college in the States.
Yeah, I said I cannot leave Kenya. Which one else? Well, when I was young, I've always wanted to come to United States. That was my favorite place to like come, and now I'm here. But I don't think it's my favorite country.
Understandable. No offense.
Understandable. As Brits, we get. Don't worry. Favorite city?
City?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
Or should we just stick to just the Kenya and United States then?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. And do you have any favorite artists right now?
Not really. I listen to like variety of songs. I don't really have a specific kind of artist I listen to or any music. I just randomly play any.
So out of the songs that you're playing, which one do you have like on repeat? So like what's your favorite song at the moment?
I would say Davido Ogechi.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like his latest new song or something.
Okay, so Afrobeats is more of your thing, or is it just still like a mix?
Well, I would say I listen to Afrobeats more than most music, but yeah. And also Kenyan songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. And last one, what is something people do not know about you?
Something they don't know about me?
You won't mind sharing to the world.
This one is funny. I don't. So only my teammates know, and my family and my friends. I don't have a nail on one of my fingers.
Wow.
Oh wow. Does it hurt? Oh my gosh.
Well, now it doesn't hurt. It was when I was young, like my uncle accidentally like banged the door on my finger.
Oh.
Yeah. It never grew, sadly.
Oh my gosh. I know what that pain is like, because at times I might break my nails and I cannot imagine.
Ooh. Is it right hand or left hand?
That one is okay. It's my left hand, at least.
Okay, and you're right-handed, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
So, because like obviously you've got a two-handed backhand as well.
Yes, I do.
Wow, that's incredible. So you're playing with... I never knew that. So yeah, thanks for sharing. That's incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into it now. So like, yeah, like we said, we've kind of been tracking you since 2022. And like, I'm guessing for yourself as well, that was quite a special year for you. Like, what do you remember like of that year specifically? Obviously that was the year you, like I said, you broke through. Is Australia first winning matches, you know, at a Grand Slam. Was that your first Grand Slam as well, Australia?
Yeah, Australian Open was my first Grand Slam.
And yeah, like, so what do you remember like from, you know, that event? And like, I guess it still has a special place in your heart, like to this day.
What I remember is reaching the third round and winning my first round. Yeah. And I just remembered being in the ITF team, having good coaches, first time traveling to Australia, like playing my first Grand Slam. Had no expectations. I just went there to like, you know, give my all, show what Kenya is made of and Africa, and just, you know, give a try. And I just took each match one at a time, actually enjoyed myself. I feel like this is something I feel I always do. Like when I play in big stages, like I play insane. I don't know how, but it just comes out. Like I play really good. And also when I play with tough opponents, like I just bring out my A game. And I feel like that Grand Slam, like I showed it. And yeah, it was just nice. I don't even know how to describe, but it was really nice.
Because how did you find the climate too? Because a lot of people say like Australia is quite difficult to deal with, like the climate of it being so hot. Like clearly that wasn't really an issue for you.
Oh yeah, it was actually pretty hot when I went there, but yeah, it wasn't really disturbing me a lot, because I would say in Kenya, like our climate is crazy too. Like you might go out or you can actually look at your window, you see like it's so hot. 1 minute later you go out, it's raining. So like I feel like,
wow.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just used to weird climates, and hot weather is actually one of my favorite climate. And yeah, it didn't really bother me. Like I was thriving. I was enjoying the heat. Yeah, I was.
With Australia too, like staying there, like I think things kind of blew up for you back home as well. Like there was a lot of kind of like, well, noise around your name, and like you had a lot of celebrity like cheering you on. I think Lupita Nyong'o, obviously she's an Oscar winning actress. Like how amazing was that? And obviously when you went back home as well too, Ken, you had like a hero's like welcome. Like, yeah, talk to us about that.
Oh yeah. When I went back home, it was actually insane. I did not expect that. I mean, I always see how they celebrated other athletes when they come back with like a gold or if they do like good results. But I wasn't really expecting that to happen to me. So I got surprised at the airport. Like we call the people Isikuti, the dancers. It's like a tradition in Kenya. I think it's my tradition, like the Luyas. That's my tradition. How they were dancing and all, and how they were wearing. So yeah, I got surprised with that. And yeah, it was nice because not only them did they come, my family was there, my coach from back home, my starter coach, and just everyone from the tennis Kenya all came, kids came just to appreciate. And like, it just felt nice, that I got recognized, because sometimes I feel like some countries, they don't really recognize their players when they do good, just to show them that they appreciate what they've done for the country and for probably the sport. So yeah, I feel like when they did that, it really boosted me and just gave me this drive to even keep working hard and, you know, do greater things. And I think I did on my next Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah, it was really nice. And yeah, getting messages from big celebrities, even artists from Kenya, Lupita Nyong'o, like it was really nice. Actually, I think Lupita Nyong'o was one of the messages that really shocked me, because I didn't know she was going to like text me or like comment on my post. But when she did, it really motivated me, because yeah, she's one of the best actresses out there. And just seeing her like appreciate the hard work I've been doing and all that just meant a lot to me. And yeah, just made me feel like actually people are watching. And yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So that's one thing me and Lucy always say, like on the podcast, like it's, we love seeing like celebrities and kind of like big names from outside of the sport, like take an interest in tennis.
Like
it makes it more special and it does bring more eyes to the sport. So
yeah
no, that's incredible, man. Do you have anything else to add on that? Or
honestly, well, first of all, I love Lupita. I watched her latest movie that came out this year, but I think not only is just, I think to me, the reason why I felt like it was probably more special is because of the fact that tennis is not as big in Africa yet. So the fact that they did that for a tennis player, I can't even like imagine how that, you know, made you feel. But yeah, and even after that, you know, you made history later that year. You know, winning the Wimbledon girls doubles crown with Rosemary Nijkamp.
I think Nijkamp.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not the best at pronouncing the names. Apologies about that.
Me too.
Yeah. And yeah, you becoming the first Kenyan to win a Grand Slam at any level. I know you said earlier that, you know, Australian Open did change a lot for you, but when, after crowning the Wimbledon girl doubles, how much did your life change after that, even and compared to even Australian Open?
Oh, yeah. So I feel like my life changed a bit. Wouldn't say major, but a bit. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I would be afraid to walk outside in the streets of Nairobi because people would like recognize you and like you don't know their interests, so you never know. So I would sometimes just stay indoors or like just hide myself for a bit. But yeah, at the tennis side, like, yeah, once I won Wimbledon, we had more tournaments for the kids, and people, like, kids really showed up, I mean. And more tournaments were there for them. More kids started playing tennis.
Nice.
And even the level changed. Like, we had good players, actually, and more people wanting to come and bring their kids to start playing tennis. And nice. It just felt nice because before, we didn't really have a lot of players. And, well, some we did, but they all stopped playing tennis after that. Like, after high school, they all drop out. Because probably they didn't see, like, they didn't have motivation, or maybe they didn't see someone who they were training with did something great so that they can boost them to, like, continue playing. But, yeah, right now I'm happy that people who are playing tennis now, they don't really come from, like, wealthy families, sorry to say, but it's actually a nice thing because I feel like they have the drive and they know why they're playing tennis. It's going to help them in the future. And you know, because before I made even history, I used to train with wealthier people, but they all stopped because, you know, they have money and all that. So tennis is just like their second or their whole, like, just for fun. They didn't really take tennis that seriously. So right now I'm just happy that people who don't have much are now like into tennis, and it drives me because at least they see. I also didn't come from a wealthy family, and I managed to do what I did. So I'm like an inspiration to them, and they can see that, if Angie did it, then we can also do it. So I'm just like driving them, and also definitely they have something that's driving them even more. So I'm just happy to see that.
No, I love that. It's so well said. Cause I remember after you winning that Wimbledon title, I saw some interviews of you, like when you went back home to Kenya, and they were interviewing like kids. I think, I don't know if it was at the airport or like maybe another like parade they had for you. One of the kids, he said that basically, yeah, like he's now inspired to play tennis because he never really thought tennis was a sport he could play. But now seeing what you've achieved, like he now feels like it's a sport he can play. Like, and to bring it back to what you just said, it is a powerful thing when you have an example like from your country, seeing them, like great things, like, it's amazing. And that's something we've been saying about you. You've been making history, well, since you were like 18 years old, and you continue to make history.
Crazy.
which we'll be talking about later on again. But yeah, like 2022, like that was a massive year for you, like in terms of, because that was your final year as a junior as well, wasn't it?
Yes, like, it was, yeah.
So how did you find like the kind of, I say transition, like was that at the back of your mind, like when you were kind of achieving all of these things, like thinking, wow, this is going to be my final year playing as a junior?
Yeah, I was actually kind of sad leaving juniors because, yeah, COVID really took out my 1 year of juniors. So, yeah, I mean, it was kind of sad, but at the same time, I was ready for the next chapter. At least I finished strong in my juniors. And yeah, I was really ready for the next step. Yeah.
And now to kind of go back to that, well, I say go back, you making it
sorry?
Pro. I'm saying when you've made it pro now. So I say made it pro. You went into the pros before going to college. So you made history when you won your first title in, is it Monastir?
Yeah.
And that was a W15K.
Yeah.
And yeah, you became the first Kenyan player to win an ITF title. So the first Kenyan player, sorry, since 1994 to win a pro event. But yeah, the first Kenyan to win an ITF title. Like I'm guessing you've kind of maybe you have kind of answered it, but yeah, if you can, and again, maybe just talk about like as you're achieving all these things, like does that play in your mind, the fact that you're kind of like basically the first to be doing all of these like amazing things, or is it not really something that like you think about or give too much attention to?
I would say 50-50. I do think about it, but at the same time, I don't. Yeah, it's like, yeah, 50-50. Yeah.
Fair play. And to kind of fast forward now to 2024, because we do want to talk about like your college game as well, like your kind of experiences in college. But before we do, so you've won. When did your season start? Because I'm saying your season started in December when you won the Nairobi 2 championship in late December.
No, that was, we had already closed school then.
I'm saying for your 2024 season, like when do you see that as being like, when did you start your 2024 season?
Oh, January.
Okay, so it's not December.
No.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll talk about it anyway. But I got here that you won that ITF event. That was Nairobi 2. How special was that to win that, like in your hometown? And like, yeah, like talk
singles about singles and doubles as well.
Exactly. Facts. Talk about that and like, yeah, just how special that was, or that event was for you.
Okay. Yes, so that was W25, I think it was my second W25 to play, actually. And yeah, just playing at home is always best. I was really looking forward to playing back home. And they had two events, actually. The first week, I lost really bad. But I would say that really boosted me. Because I went back home after I lost. I was crying. I was crying so bad because I knew what I'm capable of. And that didn't come out when I was playing. And it made me upset a bit. But I feel like that actually pushed me to even do better in the second week. So, yeah, I would say the week in Nairobi, it was pretty good. The atmosphere was really nice. And I'm just happy that Tennis Kenya even made the event possible. It was like a last minute option and they managed to do that. Yeah, that was really good. And yeah, winning the title back home was nice. The finals was really good. The people really turned out. Like the crowd was huge. I had like a big crowd. I think I have a video somewhere in my phone. It was amazing. Like, just playing at home, I always like playing in big crowds. I feel even if the crowd is against me, I like it. It just it brings the fire in me. Mm. Yeah. For some reason, I like it. I just like a nice atmosphere, like when people are there cheering, watching, and enjoying the sport. Like that's what sport's all about. So I liked it. And yeah, I won my doubles title there with Sada Naimana, great African tennis player from Burundi. Yeah, it was really nice to even win with her because I've always wanted to play doubles with her. And lucky enough, this one, she reached out to me. So I was like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. She was like, do you want to play that one? I was like, of course. What are you saying? Yeah, I do. And yeah, we really clicked in. I don't know how, but it was so nice. Like I enjoyed every moment when I was playing with Sada. She's a calm player and with good hands. So it was kind of easy for me and easy for her too, because I also have good hands. So it was a nice balance between all of us. And yeah, that's how we came to win the title. But other than that, it was really nice.
Do you like playing, well, you obviously would you say you're more of a singles player or doubles? Like, or do you kind of see them as equal?
Like playing?
Well, yeah, and enjoying.
Oh, that's a good question. I would say both, but at the same time, I feel like I enjoy doubles more.
Okay.
For some reason. Yeah, but like I also do enjoy singles, but more doubles, more. Just a bit.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you've won a lot of doubles titles. So yeah you've won titles with Myrna Rafiat. Is that, I hope I'm saying her name right.
Rafat,
okay. And that again, that was in Monastir. And also in Casablanca with Celine Simonu. And that was back in July. So clearly, like, yeah, you have a game for doubles and singles. Just on your singles as well, like, this year has been a pretty big year in terms of you being crowned the African Games champion. Talk to us about that, Angela, like, because obviously that was in Ghana, Accra, Ghana. Have you been to Ghana before? Was that your first time?
That was my first time actually in West Africa. I've never been to any West African country. Okay. So yeah, Ghana was my first.
How do you find it? Like just being in the country, like the vibe and the people?
Actually, I was surprised. The people are really nice.
They're
really nice. Yeah. I was surprised.
Why were you surprised?
They'll be mean. I don't know. I just thought they'll be mean. Like...
Or like strict, but no.
Yeah,
I would say the same. I visited the country about 2-3 years ago.
Why am I feeling offended? I'm not even Ghanaian. I'm Nigerian.
No, it's not even that way. I know exactly what she's talking about. It can, you don't, I feel like it's the same way when we went to New York and we were surprised at how nice people were.
We kept
saying that, you see, exactly. So yeah. I understand where Angela's coming from. When I went Ghana as well, it was like, oh my gosh, they are literally so nice. But Ghanaian people in general are actually a very like kind people.
Mm.
Yeah, that's one thing I've definitely learned. Yeah, so I get why she feels like that. So shout out to the Ghanaians listening, just in case.
They are really nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, like obviously talk about the tournament as well, because that was obviously you represented Kenya before, like you said, at Billie Jean King Cup. But I guess being at the African Games, like representing Kenya, like amongst or against other African nations, like that must have been quite special as well.
Oh yeah, that was special and tough at the same time, because all African Games, they bring the best Africans to compete in one tournament. And that's a tough draw. And All African Games was pretty nice. Like Ghana had a nice atmosphere. Like it was hot, but a nice weather. Like I like sweating and I like hot weather. It was nice. The place, I think it was a new place. I think they just constructed it. Yeah. But yeah, I liked it a lot. And the players, I feel like each match was really competitive. And all my matches, I would say from the first round till the last match, I was just grinding. Like it was really tough. I remember my first round, I think people thought I was going to lose because I was 3 love down. Actually, my first round, I think I played worse than any other match.
Wow.
I was 3 love down and like with, I think how many break points? I can't even remember. Like I was losing really bad. But at the same time, I just told myself to just stay calm. And because the guy was playing insane, like those 3 games, so good.
Was this in the first set? First 3 games?
Yeah, first set.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
She was playing insane. Like she had the best slice, best serve. But this is something my coach always told me, like, not everyone is going to play the same way throughout the whole match. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So I was like, definitely she's going to break down, but I just need to like stay calm, play my game and see what's going to happen. If she plays like that the whole match, then yeah, she's too good.
Very good.
Mm. Yeah, she's too good, like hands up. But yeah, she did not.
Wow. So
first, was that round tougher for you than the one against Sherif? The same final, because that one as well, you were, you know, you had to recover from a set and you were 0-3 down as well. So,
and that it went over 3 hours, isn't it? It was over 3 hours long, I want to say.
Was it 4 or 3? Yeah, one of those.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, she's a very, like, you know, experienced player as well. She's, you know, stuff. So, yeah. So the fact that you were able to beat her was definitely big. But the way you're talking about that first round, it makes me wonder, was that tougher for you than the one against Sherif?
No, I wouldn't say it was tougher than the one I played with Sherif, but it was just tough, the fact that it's the first match. You've not been to this country, different surface, different players. Like, I've never seen this player before. It was my first time seeing her. So you don't know how she's playing. Like I don't know anything about her. So, like...
Sorry, Angie. What country was she from? Sorry.
Zambia.
Oh, Zambia. Okay.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, Zambia. Yeah, so I've never seen this player before. And, like, it's my first match in all African games. So, yeah, it was just a tough first round match. And I always say, like, the first round match are always, like, the toughest matches, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah,
well, not as tough as other matches, but like it's always tough.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of players feel that way, because you're kind of like, there's almost like an expectation that you should win it. So that makes it more kind of, I don't know, play on your mind a bit more. And especially when, like you said, when there's a player you've never seen before, like she just comes out playing out of this world, like that's going to be, it's going to take you back a bit. So, no surprise there. But yeah, as Lucy mentioned, like take us back to the Sherif match. Like, that's your biggest win to date by ranking. And then obviously you went one better in the final by winning the whole thing. But just on Sherif, like going into that match, like how did you feel? And like kind of knowing that, wow, I'm about to play like a top 100 player here. Like, what were your expectations? And like, be honest as well. Like, were you expecting?
Oh, yeah.
Like, tell us what you were really thinking and expecting from that match.
Okay. So, usually when the draw comes out, I never check who I'm playing until when I go to sleep. I just ask for the name and that's it. So I didn't even know if Maya Sherif is in my draw or not until when I won my quarterfinals match. Then everyone was just talking about it. Like, I walked this way. Oh, you're going to play Maya Sherif? Like, it was just a song playing in my head, because everyone was just telling me that.
Wow.
And yeah, I think everyone knew it was going to be a good match. That's what they were telling me and like probably preparing me for that. But yeah, honest opinion, when I believe in myself a lot, but I didn't know if I was going to win. But I knew that I was going to give a fight and like see my chances of winning the match. And I feel like that's what I did. I mean, I was down in the second set. I mean, first set, actually, I was 3-1 up or 4-1 up. And I lost the set 7-5. I can't remember the score. It was 7-6, one of those.
Yeah, it was 5-7, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I lost 7-5. But I think the first set was really long too. I can't remember how many hours, but it was like deuce points, like deuce advantage, all of that. And then the second set, I can't remember, but I think I was losing 5-2.
Yeah, you were down, a couple of breaks.
Yeah, I think it was 5-2, if I'm not wrong, because I came back up 5-all and won 7-5,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah,
I was down 5-2. Then I went to my bench and I was crying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was crying because I knew what I can do. Mm-hmm. Just seeing that in the first set, I was actually leading and it was really tough. And me seeing myself losing this way, I was like, no chance. Like, I'm way better than this. And I'm a fighter. So I was like, I need to go out there and just, you know, lock in. Like, it's time now. I cannot lose like this. And yeah, I also wanted to win the tournament. That was my main goal. since. I didn't care who I was going to play or who was going to be in the tournament, but my goal was just to win the event. So yeah, I went out there, played insane, won the set, and I had the best team. Like, my Kenyan teammates were, like, always there with me. Even when I was down, I could still hear them cheering. Because, like, I know some teams, like, if you're down, especially second set and you're down, you'll just see one of them, like, one by one leaving because they're like, ah, this is done. Especially if I'm playing top 100 player, like, what else? They'll all start leaving. But with them, they stood there, like, they stood there with me. They were motivating me. My coach, too, Francis Rogoi, always there with me. Like, it was just nice. And just seeing that actually boosted me. I was like, look, they are motivating me. Like, they want this for me. So I should, you know, turn on. Like, I need to do this for them too. And for myself, of course. So yeah, I won the second set, 7-5. Third set, I can't really remember the score. I think that was 3-love down. Yeah.
3-love down, exactly.
In the third set.
You won it in the tiebreak.
Yeah, I was 3-love down, came back. Then I was 5-4 up. And I think 40-15. And I was serving. Like, my serves were perfect the whole time since the beginning. But just at that point, double faults came in. Wow. Yeah. It's not like I was shaking or anything. Like, I wasn't even thinking about, oh my God, I have match point. No. Like, I was super calm, but I don't know where the double faults were coming from. I don't know. Probably someone was just sitting somewhere pressing. I don't know. But yeah. I lost. I lost that game 5-5 all. And then she won her serve 6-5. And then it was my serve again. So I was like, yeah, this is my shot now. Like, no more double faults. No more free points. Like, I need to make my serve, even though it's just second serve. Like, just put the serve in and let's grind. And that's what I did. I won the game, 6-all, and then now the tiebreak. How was the tiebreak? I think it was 5-all tiebreak, and then we played this long point. I don't know if she missed it or she missed the net or she missed out. Then I won 6-5. And then she was serving. Her serve is big, especially the kick serve. So yeah, I was like, I need to be ready for that.
She's quite tall, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she is. But lucky enough, she served to my forehand. So I was like, yes.
Just ate it up.
Yeah. So I remember the match point. Like, I don't think I can ever forget that. So she served on my forehand. I returned, like, middle deep to her forehand. Sorry to say, but her forehand is the weaker side. So I returned to the forehand side. And then she ripped her forehand to my forehand side, but the ball was out. And I couldn't believe. I was like, is it out? And then I heard the umpire say out. I just fell down. I was like, yeah, I was like, it was just a nice moment. Because, yeah, it's true. Before the match, I didn't know I was going to win, but I knew that I was going to, like, give a fight and see where my chances are in winning her. And that's what I did. And I feel like throughout the match, I was just being positive and, you know, showing no weakness. I was there. Like, I feel like that was one of the best matches I've ever played this year to date. Yeah. And yeah, it was really nice. And fun fact, after the match, my teammates were asking me, like, Angie, are you not tired? I was like, no, because I didn't know how long we played for. I knew it was long.
It was over four hours. Yeah.
Yeah, because even when the first set was about to begin, they gave us like 10 minutes because of the heat. That hot. Okay. So we got 10 minutes like to go to the lockers and, like, you know, cool down. So after the match, I was fine. I think I was even ready to play my finals that day. Like, I could have played. That's how fine I was. Because I was asking my teammates, because they were asking me, Angie, are you tired? I was like, no, I'm not. They're like, do you know how long you've been playing for? I was like, no. They're like, and you've been playing for 4 hours and some minutes. I was like, really?
That is incredible. Wow.
Yeah. I was like, I'm ready for our next match. Like, please. Yeah. So, like, I don't think I was fatigued. But, yeah, the fatigue kicked in after the last match, of course. But, like, after that match, I was perfectly fine.
Because that was a straight sets win for you in that final compared
yes.
to the three-set tussle in the semi-final. Like, again, what kind of like your expectations going into the final? Like, you probably thought, you know what, this is probably mine now. Like, I don't know. Like, talk us through that.
Yeah, I had so much belief in myself in the finals. Like, after beating Maya Sharif, I was like, yeah, this belongs to me. Like my confidence was like way up the ceiling. Yeah, and definitely my opponent was scared, probably. Like, after beating Maya Sharif, definitely she was scared. But the good thing, I just told myself that, yeah, just go out there, give your best. Whatever happens, happens. You have good team. Like, they are always there with you. And yeah, I just went out there, played my game, didn't tank, was there each and every point. And yeah, I just showed what I was capable of. And I just proved to them that, yeah, I was meant to be here. And that's what I did.
That was massive. It was huge. One thing again, like, in terms of like how significant it was, obviously Sharif is Egyptian. I think the girl you played in the final, she was also Egyptian, wasn't she?
Oh yeah, I played, they had four Egyptians. I played three of them in that same tournament. Oh,
wow. Incredible. So, yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is tennis in like North Africa, it's quite strong. Obviously you have Ons Jabeur, she's been as high as what, number three in the world, I want to say, top five anyway.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, you've got these Egyptians coming through now, and like, obviously Tunisians as well, maybe following Ons, but in terms of sub-Saharan Africa, you don't have many players. Yeah. And look at you there winning, you know, the All African Games in Kenya. Like, it's a huge look. So and that's why we're so proud of you, Angela. Honestly, like, we, anytime we can champion you, we do, because yeah, it's big what you're doing. So just massive, massive shout out to you, man. Honestly,
thanks.
Kind of looking away, I say looking away, after you won the African Games, controversially, everybody thought you were going to be at the Olympics. And we were pushing for it as well, saying, listen, you need to get a wild card, if anything. Like, they need to make it happen. Mm. Like, what were your kind of thoughts, or were you disappointed when you kind of found out you had to basically get there by your ranking? Because I think at the time you were outside the top 400. And you had to be a top 400 player in order to be eligible to play at the Olympics. Like, just, yeah, how tough was that for you? And like, I mean, yeah, talk about the rules and be honest again, because I think... But yeah, like, if you can talk about like the kind of disappointment of missing out on playing or competing at the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, I was really disappointed. Yeah, I was really disappointed because, yeah, I mean, I think they should change this rule. I don't know why they changed it before, because before, Maya Sharif is the one who won the previous All African Games. And she went to the Olympics because she won the All African Games. She didn't need to have like any sort of ranking or anything. Wow. So she just got the direct. So I thought that was exactly what's going to be for this year. But the rules actually changed this year, January. I didn't know that. I actually found out when I was in Ghana.
Wow. Okay.
That was the rule. So this rule was not there since. It just changed like this year. And I feel like it shouldn't be like that. Like, if they're going to change a rule, change it after this year's Olympics and then put on the other one. Like, give us like 4 years then. Because just like a couple months, it's like, it was really tough for, I feel like for everyone, not just for me, not because I won, but like definitely for other players. If someone else could have won, they could be in the same shoe that I was in. And yeah, it wasn't really good. And just considering that we don't really have much African tennis players out there, like in the global world, and like not all of us, not African, like we don't really have much support in Africa compared to like other continents who can at least get wild cards into big events and boost their ranking or get into, you know, like their countries can like have many tournaments for them to play higher events, unlike my country. So it was really tough for me. And also that, me being a student athlete, like I'm in college. So just have, and it was during college season. So it was really tough for me to like balance my futures events together with my college event, because I had already signed to play for my school. So I had to like balance everything. So yeah, it was really tough for me. Like those couple months, it was exhausting. I think I was about to like twist my ankle or something, because when I was playing, because I was getting fatigued, like playing back to back to back just to see if I can get ranking top 400. And it was even sometimes tough to like get wild cards into bigger events to see myself, like, you know, see if I can get points quicker to stuff. So I had to like rely on 25Ks, and I didn't have like very strong ranking to get into higher events, especially here in the US. If maybe I was in Africa, maybe I could have tried to go to Europe, you know, and see. Because here in the US, I feel like it's tough to like even today, like 35Ks, I'm in alternate. Like 25Ks, I'm in alternate with my ranking. Yeah, that's how strong these tournaments are here in the US. Yeah, but yeah, the rules, I think they need to change. I don't know who's up there, but they need to sit down and change this, at least for us Africans. Like, having just one African, actually two in the men, actually one. One woman, one man, the Tunisian and Maya. Like, it's not enough. And having other countries have like six or five players, you know, it's not fair. Like, at least have like, exception. That's what they say.
Yeah.
At least they could give me an exception. I won the All African Games. Yes, I did not attain the ranking, fine, but like, I deserve to be there. I won the All African Games. I should be there. Like,
as the champion of the continent. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's well said, Andrew, honestly. Because I think most people kind of thought that as well. That you winning the African Games, like, you should be there, like, on merit, regardless of what the ranking is or was.
Yeah, because that was the rule before they switched it now.
Yeah, like, and that too, I wasn't aware of the rule changing so soon as well. Because that, to me, that makes no sense. Like you said, especially in the year of the Olympics, don't play around with the rules now.
Exactly. Do it afterwards.
So yeah. that's well said, man, definitely. And I mean, we were gutted for you that you weren't there. Well, did you watch much of the Olympics, or you probably didn't? I don't know, like, probably didn't have time, to be fair.
Actually, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you weren't too bitter, like, you were able to watch it and enjoy, I guess.
Oh yeah, I was.
good for you, man. And I guess you must have aspirations to make it to LA in 2028.
Oh yes, I have.
Yeah, you'll be there. I put money on it right now. You're going to be there.
Amen.
But yeah, you touched on it briefly in your answer just then about college. Like, talk to us about am I saying Auburn?
Yes, that's actually how you should say it. I don't say it that way. I say Auburn. The A is different. So.
Okay. Like, talk to us about like the kind of process, like, in terms of you being recruited, and were there any other colleges that you were maybe thinking about going to, or was it always going to be Auburn?
Oh yeah. Before choosing Auburn, yeah, I had a lot of requests. I think more than 20 schools.
Wow.
Yeah. But I don't want to mention them. I don't want to publicity. I had those schools, most from the SECs, from Big Ten, like, different. Yeah.
All Division One as well, I'm guessing.
Yes, all Division One, yes.
Big league, okay.
Yeah, but I only chose Auburn. Why I did that, actually I came for a visit after US Open. I came to visit Auburn, and I just liked how the training was, how the teammates, like, how they took themselves, and how they all had this mentality that they wanted to pursue professional tennis. So I felt like being around this atmosphere will help me a lot, because that was also my goal. Like, I want to pursue professional tennis after college. I don't want to just play college and that's it. So I felt like this was the right environment for me. And just having people with the same mindset as you, we could really push each other up, and just to see all of us reaching at the top. So that's why I chose this place. And I also chose this place because they had a trainer, and I felt like in the schools I visited, like, their trainer was only in the training part, like, they were not on the court or anything. But here in Auburn, like, the trainer is actually in your practices. So at least if let's say I run and fall down, like she's there to see. Because sometimes I feel like it's tough to explain to trainers like what really happened. But if she's actually there to see, it's easier for me. Like, and she can actually treat me like right away. And, you know, that's why I chose this place. And yeah, the training staff, really good, good coaches. They also played professional, so they know what it's like to be there and get there. So I felt like they will help me a lot. And yeah, like everything just felt nice. And academic wise, like we have a lot of help from the staffs, from the advisors. Like I can get help from tutors if I'm stuck in one class just to help me boost my grade. And what, I felt like...
Sorry, Andrew, what are you studying, by the way?
I'm doing business administration.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
You're about your business, about standing on your business.
Yes.
I respect it.
Yes, yes. I want to be my own boss.
I like love that. Yeah. How are you finding like kind of balancing, yeah, like education and like sport? Because that must be quite tough.
Yeah, it's tough. Won't lie, it's tough. But yeah, I'm glad that our professors are really understanding, especially for us student athletes. Like if we're out for a tournament, they give us a leeway. Like our academic sends email to our professors asking for excuses so we don't miss classes. And the professors sometimes they send us some PowerPoints if we've missed class or any material we need to like catch up in class so we don't get behind. Yeah, so I feel like Urban, they're really helping us a lot. So I'm not really missing much. But at the same time, too, it's kind of tough. But like, it's better when you're in class, so you listen better than when they send it to you, you know? Studying alone, sometimes it's tough. But with the tutors, too, as I said, yeah, it's helpful.
How have you found the level as well, like kind of competing? Because obviously you're playing against, like, yeah, fellow, like, D1 schools. I'm guessing the level is quite, when I say guessing, obviously the level is very high. Like, how does it compare to, I guess, the pros, like ITF level compared to like, yeah, the college like system?
Mm. Yeah, I would say, I feel like college is really intense and competitive. I feel like some W15, I feel like they're lower than even these college events because it's really competitive. You're actually playing with top players from the country, like in college, and they actually have good WTA ranking. They also play professional tennis. So like, I would say the competition is really high and good. And definitely that really helped me in my tennis too. That's why I've improved a lot. And yeah, the results show themselves. So I would say if anyone who wants to come to college, it's a good path for you. And yeah, don't just sit there thinking that, oh, I don't have anything to do. No, college is actually good. That was me then, but I'm happy that I made this decision and it has really helped me in my tennis career. Nice. Yeah.
I guess you did touch on it just there. Like you must take inspiration from the likes of like Emma Navarro, Daniel Collins, and like, who else is there? Peyton Stern. Peyton. Like they've all gone through the kind of college system and like they're now top WTA tour players. Like I'm guessing that's where you see yourself eventually.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's where I see myself.
But also, your twin sister, she's also at college.
yes, she is.
So she was leader. Am I saying that name correctly?
Yeah.
Leader. She's at Cowley. Is it Cowley State?
Cowley Community College.
Have you played against them or you're not in the same division or league?
No. Yeah, we're not in the same division. Okay. She's in a junior college.
Oh, okay.
A good junior college, yeah. Yeah.
Because again, like what's kind of her expectations? Obviously, she's not here to kind of speak for herself, but that's an incredible story being, you know, two twin sisters playing college tennis. Like that is just incredible. Like talk a bit about your sister, like, yeah, being a twin. Like what's that like?
It's good. Yeah. I would say we don't look alike. Most people say we do. We don't. I don't think we do.
I think you do.
But we do?
I think you do.
Really? Oh, okay.
Obviously, you're not identical, but you do look alike.
Oh. I don't see it though.
Okay.
But yeah, she's a nice sister, definitely. And I'm just happy that we don't have this bad blood. I feel like some sisters, like if you see one sister does good, like the other sister will be jealous or like, you know, the bad blood, but we don't have that. She's always supportive. I'm always supportive of her, like when she does good. And yeah, she always encourages me when I'm down, like to, you know, keep working hard. I do the same thing. I always reach out to her every day just to tell her that not to forget where she came from, but also always remember where she's going. Same thing. So yeah, she's enjoying where she is now in Cowley. And I feel like that school is actually good. They've won, I think, their regionals or something. Yeah.
NCAA. Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, they did. So yeah, pretty good school. And I'm just happy that she's in that school and they're really helping her a lot in her tennis.
Have you two played together for Kenya at like Billie Jean King Cup, or has that not happened yet?
No, we actually have.
Oh, nice.
Yes, we did. Yeah, it was actually good. At least for the first time. Okay. Usually before, when we used to play together, we used to fight on the court. Like a lot. But recently, especially in this recent Billie Jean King Cup, because that's where we got the chance to play with each other. Very calm, professional, nice. Like, yeah, it was really nice to play with her. And I really enjoyed myself.
Nice. I take it you're the leader.
It was fun.
You're the leader on the court, or I don't want to start any trouble.
Yes.
No, that's beautiful.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thanks for confirming. Also, we don't want to keep it too long. Just one more. Something that I found quite interesting when doing like some research on you, you kept mentioning your tennis book. Like this tennis book that you have, like, is that like, is that a diary, or is it like just like a, I don't know, like a mood board? I don't know. Like how would you describe that? And can you tell us something that is in there that maybe someone isn't, or people aren't aware of? I want to know all the secrets.
So I usually have a tennis book. It's just something I used to have when I was young, like just to write my goals, my, just anything. I would say like a diary, but a tennis book diary,
okay.
Something like that. Yeah. So yeah, it had my long time goals. One being playing at the Australian Open, like all the Grand Slam, like it had all of it in it. And I still have the book. It's somewhere in this room, somewhere. I still have it. That was a 2017 book. Yeah. It was a really long time book, but I have a new one now. But yeah, my tennis book is just something I write all my goals, what I need to do, what I've done, just to like, you know, reflect on myself. And it helps me a lot, actually. It does.
Nice. I like that. And lastly,
yeah,
you've got a very famous slogan, no weakness. where did that come from? And like, yeah, just tell us what that means to you.
Oh, funny story. During Billie Jean King Cup, so we were... our coach, our captain, Rugoi Francis. So we finished practice and everyone was exhausted. So we went to the gym and I think we did treadmill, like sprints, jog, sprints, but more sprints than jogging. Yeah. And then we had to do push-ups. It was all girls. We had to do push-ups. And I think there's two kind of ways of doing push-up. The normal one and the one where you have to like kneel and do. I think most girls do that. But yeah. So our coach was insisting on us to do the normal one. I was up for it to do the normal one. But well, my teammates my teammates did not. They were like, no, I want to do the galley one. But I was like, guys, no weakness. You have to do this. I just said no weakness. You have to do this. And just after I said that, boom. They were all doing their regular push-ups and they actually did it pretty well. Yeah. So that's where the no weakness came from.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you're clearly a natural leader, like inspiring people to follow your lead.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
I am.
Love that, Angela, man. Honestly, thank you so much for joining us. Like, that was a really, really good like chat. And again, apologies again for the mix-up in times. But yeah, man, we're so grateful to have you on. And like I said, we've been tracking you since 2022, and just love everything you're doing. So just continue to just keep pushing, and just best of luck, obviously, at Auburn and throughout the rest of your career. Like, we're going to be tracking you for forever, basically. So yeah, we look forward to doing that.
Sure. Thank you so much.